All right, this is Matthew, and I want to introduce you to our class on Christian Disciplines, Training Tools for Transformation. A couple little notes I have for you before we get started. First off, I feel a little bit odd teaching a class about Christian disciplines. My spiritual life needs help. It needs work. That's why I'm teaching this class, not because I've got this figured out. So this is going to be a bit of a journey together, and I hope that you will give it everything you've got with me. I believe this is something we can work on and grow in, and I think it'll be good for us. Secondly, I know that our goal in this class is Christian growth, and I feel a little bit silly having a class about Christian growth because I know that's the unwritten, if not written, goal of every class that we have at church, Christian growth. So can I really shortcut that process? I don't know. But I think this is an important enough goal that I need to try. So if you're in for it, I hope that you'll try this with me. I hope that you'll share this with a friend. I hope that you'll be willing to put up with the hypocrisy that I am going to bring to this class, and that you'll help me grow, and that you'll let me help you grow, and that together we'll be pleasing to God. I hope that you'll look at the plan that we have. This is sort of our syllabus. This is where we plan on going. Basically, I've taken a class for different disciplines, different spiritual disciplines. And by the way, when I say discipline, I hope you know what that means. It's not just beating a kid, right? Discipline is a tool, a training. Have you ever noticed how close the words discipline and disciple are? There's not an accident there. You discipline yourself to become a disciple. A disciple is a learner, a student. Disciplines are tools to make us students, followers, learners, more like Christ. So we'll talk about prayer. We'll talk about scripture reading. We'll talk about fasting, gratitude. Notice I separated fasting from Thanksgiving. I'm just not that cruel. Talk about silence and solitude, service and giving, and whatever else we come up with. Even though this is a full quarter class, it's going to be kind of short thanks to Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year. So we'll do what we can. Also, I've given out a journal for you. If you're like me, you take notes in a lot of your classes and you take notes from a lot of sermons, and they all end up in a pile on the floor or in a shoebox or something. So this is my attempt to help you keep these things together. For those of you that aren't physically here, you can check out these files on the website, but any old journal will do. So here's my goal. Number one, I want to deal with the sacred-secular divide. What I mean by that is the way that many Christians see their Christian life is one thing, and their work life is another. I want us to work on bridging that gap. No, I want us to work on destroying that gap. I want us to work on seeing what we do in church Sunday morning as an extension of what we have done Monday through Saturday. And I want us to see what we do Monday through Saturday as the logical conclusion from what we talk about on Sunday. Number two, I want to equip ourselves with transformative tools, the spiritual disciplines, tools that help us transform and grow. It seems sad to me that sometimes we have been more comfortable with the idea or the thought of someone who has been, say, baptized, who has not been transformed, than we are with someone who is essentially a heathen that is baptized. Do you get what I'm saying there? Transformation is a part of what was promised in Acts chapter 2, forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Spirit. Number three, I want to move the heart in line with the head, fuel long-lasting Christian zeal. You know, we have three areas of our lives, thinking, feeling, and doing. Sometimes we don't feel like doing something, but we do it anyway, and we act our way into feeling. Sometimes the opposite is true. We feel like doing something, so we do it. It changes our behavior. But thinking is supposed to reign supreme. When our thinking is wrong, it messes up our feeling. When our thinking is wrong, it messes up our doing. I'm going to try to work on your heart by going through your head in this class. I want to work on your thinking. As James would call it, work on the stinking thinking that sometimes the devil traps us with. Well, transformation. You know, there's a scripture that talks about bringing every thought captive to the Word of God. What does that mean? I'm not real sure sometimes myself. I want you to see this as an example of transformation.
What would be my cardboard testimony in the kingdom of heaven to those? This is what my testimony is.
to me, this is a great example of transformation. It's something I don't always feel like I believe in, or at least practically. But I know it's possible, and I know God's power is possible, and I want to see us be transformed. I want to see me transformed into the image of Christ. I know that each of you can relate to one of these signs. I hope you can relate to both sides of these signs. From cancer survivors to convicts to sideline Christians to fighting parents to struggling with grief and fear, whatever it is, Christ can use us and Christ can work within us. In your journal, I hope that you'll take a moment to look up our topic of transformation. I'm going to do a little bit of your work for you and show you a couple of passages. What happens if you look in your concordance for transform? Maybe the most well-known passage is in Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God. That's I beg you, by everything good, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, the church is told not to put up, basically, with those who are forsaking the assembly, but instead stir up one another to love and good works, even more as you see the day approaching. I think about stirring things. How important is that when you cook something, that you stir it? You know, if you don't stir it, some of it's undercooked, some of it's overcooked. That's a fancy way of saying burned. I think Christians might be the same way. If we're not stirred up, we'll sit in place, we'll stagnate, and we'll be ruined. The church is supposed to stir one another up. I'm supposed to stir you, and you're supposed to stir someone, and they're supposed to stir someone else, and they're supposed to keep on the cycle of stirring, and we're all supposed to be stirred up into the image of Christ. That means that we're moved out of our comfort zones. We're moved out of being comfortable. We're poked and prodded out of being lazy. We're made to do what's right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 has another picture at the end of the chapter. We all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. That's the image of Christ, from one degree of glory to another. If you look up new creation, are you familiar with that in Scripture? If anyone is in Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Galatians 6:5. It doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not, but are you a new creation? Are you a new creature? Do you remember that hymn we sing? Buried with Christ, dead to the world, the voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free. A new creature, that song is called. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about becoming a new man or putting on the new man. And he uses this imagery that sounds like you're putting on clothes. I did some research a year or so ago, and I read about a Roman ceremony. You know, a young Roman boy actually wore a different color toga than an older man. It had different trimmings, basically a different border, a different color on the border that signified that he was not a man. It's sort of like that bar on your driver's license that says under 21. Well, when he became of age, they had what was called the toga virilis ceremony, the toga of manhood. And he was given a new toga. It's sort of like the Jewish bar mitzvah. It says, you're now a man with all of the rights, responsibilities, and opportunities that that involves. You're a citizen. You can own property. You can be drafted. You can vote. You can work. It's a transformation. A new person. Just to stir your thinking in your discussion, here's a question for you. How would you respond if the elders asked to see your bank statement? What do you think about that question? A lot of people get pretty upset just by me asking that question. Why do they want to see our bank statements? Don't they know I give enough? What business is it? That might reveal something about the elderships we've had in general not being, well, quite as shepherding as they ought to be. But my real question is, why do we get so upset about this? If we're really being transformed, if Jesus asked to see my bank statement, would he like to see where I'm spending my money, my time? Would he be happy to see that I just bought a motorcycle? Or would he think that it was like the end of Schindler's List and said that money, just think what a difference you could have made? I don't know. That's one of the questions I want us to explore. How should we spend our time and our money? How would we respond to a question like this? I want us to look at applied Christianity. How does my faith affect my performance at work, my choices for recreation and vacation, how I behave as a spouse, a single person, or a parent, how I drive, what's in my bank account or what's not in my bank account, how I retire, when I retire, what I purchase, how I vote, should my faith affect those things? If so, how? Well, that's what we're talking about in Christian disciplines. I have an assignment for you this week. I want you to think of somebody that you know that really is transformed. I hope you have an example of somebody like that. Somebody whose life is an example to you. Someone whose faith you admire. I want you to call that person. I want you to take them out to coffee. I want you to get them lunch. Do whatever it takes just to get to talk to them for a few minutes and ask them about what makes their spiritual life tick. We'll talk about that a little bit next week. Again, next week we'll talk about relationships in the viewpoint of a Christian discipline. I hope that this will be a blessing for you. Thanks for coming.